Hello, Internet. It's another episode of the Z2 Podcast.
Woohoo!
I'm less sick now and my voice doesn't sound awful. I apologize for the last episode. There was a weird little audio issue and my voice sounded like crap, so... Yeah.
I feel like the only time you ever let me do the intro is when you're sick.
Yeah, or you just take it over from me. This is episode 17 of the Z2 Podcast.
We are almost legal.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah, holy crap. In the last hour, there was like 5 new announcements from Marvel. Like, we're sitting here and getting ready, and it's just like, new title, new title, new title. It's like, Marvel, stop. Please, we can't keep up with this. So let's jump right into it.
We're recording 2 days early, and that was actually my one worry driving over here, was what if they announce something on Saturday and we're not going to talk about it?
It'll be a week late.
We'll be okay.
Yeah, I think we'll live. I think there's more than enough.
I'm sure all 8 of you won't mind that much.
Yeah. Hey, 20 to 30 now on average.
All 20 to 30 of you on average.
We love you all. Anyway, let's jump right into it. Let's start off with Doctor Strange in the Sorcerer Supreme is now announced by... Wow. Okay, the poster's by Raphael Albuquerque. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful poster, and it makes me wonder, have they announced like an actual creative team for it yet?
I'm not seeing anything for it yet, but I'm going to fact check that real quick.
Because I know Jason Aaron was doing the relaunch Doctor Strange title.
Thor.
And he's also doing Thor and Star Wars and everything else under the sun.
Trying to find it here. It doesn't look like they have anything for it yet. Yeah, I don't see it. It's just the announcement, really.
So, Earth has one Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
What do the Sorcerers Supreme mean?
Is that... Well, I mean, we have the whole Death of X thing coming in Civil War 2. Is it, like, maybe some of the other magical users join him and he's, like, has his own team now?
It... pure speculation sitting there going, it's like, this could be like the Justice League Dark of the Marvel Universe, or it could be more dimension hopping. So, yeah. Doctor Strange.
Well, I mean, we already, in the X-Men, Extraordinary X-Men, Magic already explained that she was trained by Doctor Strange.
Yeah, she was one of the candidates for the Sorcerer Supreme. Same with, now I'm forgetting his name, and he's one of my favorite characters. Hulkling's boyfriend.
Oh, Wiccan.
Yeah, Wiccan. I wanted to call him something else. I think it was just the old helmet he wore. I was like, Thor?
Asgardian.
Yeah, Asgardian. That's why I was getting Thor. Wiccan was actually a candidate for Sorcerer Supreme too, and I think in one of the Marvel what-ifs or whatever, he was the Sorcerer Supreme for a while.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't read any Doctor Strange, so I'm like, who else? Like you said, like there's like very few magic users. I mean, maybe Scarlet Witch joins, but
man, let me.
I don't
tell
even know
you.
What she's doing right now.
Civil War 2, issue 1, where all the magic users appear on the one splash page. I'm like, I can name 3 of you. Who are the rest of you?
Maybe he's like leading his own school now or something. But wait, it's Sorcerer Supreme, so that's in
Sorcerers.
Yeah,
plural.
So.
So, that, like I said, dimension hopping
would be
pretty logical, or maybe...
They really want to build up their multiverse again after they just destroyed it, it seems.
Yeah.
That's what at least they're feeling. That. It feels like they're kind of pointing towards that.
Well, Marvel's been doing a lot of weird PR things lately, but we can get to that later.
Yeah, because people are not happy. So, another new book that we kind of saw coming from the teaser images is Infamous Iron Man. With Dr. Doom as the taking over Tony Stark's armor.
I said it 2 weeks ago. I was so happy.
I think you've called like 4 of the biggest things that happened in the last like couple weeks.
You get so mad when I do that.
I'm just surprised that you can do it so well and so consistently.
I am great. But actually, I'm excited for this one. I really like the way Bendis has been writing Dr. Doom in Invincible Iron Man. And this is actually going to be Doom's first ongoing series other than Dr. Doom 2099.
Yeah.
Which is totally bizarre that it's going to be an Iron Man title.
Taking the place of International Iron Man, so.
Yeah, it's going to be Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. So I love that art team. And the writing team, just the whole team. Go team.
Go team.
And I'm really curious to see this approach because, again, it's Doom's first role as a heroic character. It's his first ongoing title. And Marvel's seemed to do this thing lately where it's like, yeah, we're going to put the villain in the hero role and see how they do. Superior Iron Man, Superior Spider-Man. Now we have the infamous Iron Man.
So it's like, how long until Doom finally like snaps or something goes wrong?
But he's been such a great, ambiguously morally gray good guy since October. And I've really been digging it. So I wonder if he builds his own Iron Man armor.
Yeah, or... I mean, the cover looks really cool of like the mix between the two.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, it's a really cool cover. Even yeah, I mean, they really are going for like, it's Doctor Doom a la the Iron Man colors.
Yeah.
That should be interesting.
I hope he has a cape.
It looks like he will, because at least the image, it looks like he kind of has a hood.
Well, think about it like this. If he does have a cape, if he has the same suit Tony does, where it's very, he can will sleek. It, and it's that sleek metallic design that also changes shape, like he can turn his arm into a sword and all that jazz. If he had a cape that provides him with the extra arsenal, he could go like full Gundam mode and like shoot off his cape to shoot off lasers or something.
Or have like missiles hiding behind the cape.
It'd be great.
And he would, it would look kind of cool too. It would look pretty much like Doctor Doom.
I would
just different colors.
Yeah. But I wonder, since, again, it's his first ongoing, what his rogue gallery would be.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four. He was the rogue gallery for the Fantastic Four. So he can't be gone. Like, Ben Grimm, you and the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or I just, will fight you. I wonder if maybe the conflict will be like Mary Jane and maybe the new Iron Maiden.
Mary Jane stepped down immediately after doing the whole Iron Spider thing. Yeah. It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
I would have loved the Iron Spider series with her or something.
Yeah, she literally says, well, that was fun. I'm never doing this again. I hate superheroes.
God damn it. It would have been nice to always see
it
that.
It was very entertaining, though, to have her do that role in Amazing Spider-Man this week.
Yeah.
Or no.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was amazing.
Yeah, it was Amazing Spider-Man.
But yeah, so that'll be an interesting series.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, it's my favorite one that's been announced so far. And then continuing on with that, with that whole Iron Maiden thing you brought up,
yeah.
We should actually save that. That'll be a longer thing.
Yeah, we'll save that one for later because there's people are very, very upset.
Our Steve, who's been on the upset a few times, is just like really conflicted about everything. Usually he's the one that's like, yeah, let's give it a chance. But he is such a hardcore Iron Man fan, the same way he's a hardcore Green Arrow fan, that he's just like, he like blue screened in front of me.
I was talking to him about it last night, and he had some, we both had some interesting comments. So we'll save that for later, because the another teaser image that seems to reveal another new series is going to be Unworthy Thor. But it is not taking over the current Thor book, so Jane Foster Thor is still going to be around.
So we have two Captain America books, two Iron Man books.
We have two Thor books.
So yeah. The big three of the literal MCU are going to be doubled. Going around.
Yeah.
I wonder how long that's going to last, though.
Yeah, I mean, they said that in the Newsarama article, it says that they will cross, the two Thor books will cross over at some point, but not initially.
Okay.
So at least for one arc, it's just going to be, they'll be separate still.
Yeah. Hey, remember when I was telling you the armor looked a lot like the Ultimate Thor?
Yeah, it's like he's holding the Ultimate Thor hammer now, too.
Yeah, the cover art came out for that. It was in Bleeding Cool, and it looks exactly like the Ultimate Thor hammer.
Yep. Even just everything about him looks like Ultimate Thor.
So I wonder, because last time we saw Ultimate Thor, other than in the Thor's series, he was flying Galactus through a black hole. And according to the Marvel Universe, there's only one Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes shape depending on which universe it goes into.
Right.
So I wonder if the Unworthy Thor encounters the Ultimate Thor. I never read the Secret Wars Thor's crossover.
Ultimate Thor did meet up with Odinson. Okay. And Ultimate, they fought together, and if I remember right, I think Ultimate Thor gave Odinson like his praise.
Okay.
And he, yeah.
I can't remember the full metal arm too.
Yeah, he still has the metal arm. He has two axes now. That's kind of cool. Maybe some dual wielding action.
It seems like Jason Aaron has been, he's been the sole writer for Thor since the first Marvel now?
I think it was after Fear Itself.
Really?
I think so.
Okay, I didn't read anything.
It might have been before Fear Itself, too.
I didn't read anything until God Butcher came out in the, I think that was Marvel now.
I think that was after Fear Itself.
Yeah.
Because Fear Itself was Matt Fraction.
That was 2008, 2009.
Yeah. And he wrote Original Sin. Yeah, I want to say. Yeah, it's been like, it's been a very long time he's been on that book.
Sorry.
It's getting up there with like the length of Scott Snyder writing Batman.
But they just renumber everything.
Yeah.
He seems to have like this really, he's been very invested in Thor. Yeah, and
he writes it really well.
Yeah, it's a very long con for him ever since Original Sin. And then maybe we finally learn what Nick was Fury whispered. Said.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to see. But a comment from Jason Aaron is, I've always written him as a guy who wakes up every morning, looks at the hammer, and now, and no, he would not. Wait, that's an oddly worded sentence. He would look at the hammer and know he would not know if he was going to pick it up. So, in other words, he always wrote Thor like, am I worthy? Am I still worthy?
Yeah, a very ambiguous character.
Yeah, which, so this kind of title and role seems like, I honestly feel like it makes him a more interesting character.
Yeah. Did you read the, no, we already went over this, but in God Butcher and that whole
No, I didn't. Saga. I didn't pick up Thor until Jane appeared.
And the whole saga of God Butcher, we have all three Thors, past, present, and future, all coming together to defeat the God Butcher. But we see cocky, the young Thor, who all he wants to do is wield a hammer.
Yeah.
Then we have the present day Thor, who wields the hammer. Then we have future Thor, post Ragnarok, who's everything's gone.
Have a hammer. Yeah.
I think he might have actually had a metal arm then too. I don't know.
I think he did. Huh. Yeah, he did, because I remember there were some screenshots of, I think current Thor like looked at him and was like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, what happened to me? And then we get to see it in like the first Jane Thor arc.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see, so if he truly does become worthy again, if he picks up the hammer, what would happen to Jane? Like I said, Jane probably succumbing to cancer or going out in a big bang.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll probably have to wait till 2017 when Thor Ragnarok is done.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the way the current Mighty Thor book is leading, there's two agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trying to unmask who the new Thor is. Yeah, because Roz is working with her.
Right.
And my guess is probably that when the two arcs collide, something happens where Jane is finally revealed, and then she either dies or goes into quote-unquote dies.
Put on a bus.
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
And then maybe Thor, unworthy Thor, becomes worthy again or something like that.
With the new titles that are coming out, it makes me really, like, you and I have both said multiple times, it's like, DC is killing it, makes me reevaluate anything. While I'm excited to see all this stuff, and I'm excited, you know, I only read Thor in trade, but really the only thing that I know I have to read then and there are like the two new Iron Man titles. So like my pull list isn't changing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably going to drop like all the team books except maybe A-Force.
You're going to drop X-Men?
I don't know. Maybe it's still up in the air. I've been liking it and I don't know. It just feels like every issue is like so far apart. Like this seems like they take an extra week for some reason. I don't know.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but it always feels like they're so far apart that I forget what happened in the last issue.
Right.
And when I read it, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, this is actually a pretty good book.
So that leads us to another newly announced title, Death of X.
Yeah.
Which, hey.
It's not what I was going to move into, but this works too.
Yeah. We can talk about Champions here in a second.
Yeah.
But Death of X is going to be co-written by Charles Soule and Jeff Lemire. And it's going to go into the 8-month period where
Cyclops went on his war against the Inhumans.
It really makes me wonder because we've seen the post Secret Wars everything that after the 8 months, and it seems like the Inhumans are on such good terms with everyone.
Well, not so much in Civil War though.
In Civil War, but they have the diplomatic immunity. People come to them for aid. Carol is buddies with Lady Medusa.
Yeah.
And it seems like, I don't know if it's just like a Marvel status quo change that the Inhumans are like the new go-to characters for like guest spots or anything, But if Cyclops truly went to war with everything, why are they making him to come out to be a villain in this situation?
Yeah, that whole sequence, it really didn't make sense. I really wish we got, it's nice that we get to see what actually happened now, because they always made like a big point, like these 8 months, like a lot of shit went down.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen anything of it.
So I wonder if it's going to be I don't think it's going to be like a new thing where it's going to be, hey, here's a new limited series about what happened during the 8 months. Spider-Man 2. Yeah, I would read that. But, yeah, it's weird because, I don't know, it's just the state of the X-Men universe that's always weird to me. Because I've read X-Men in the past. They've always been the guest spot characters. They've always been the people everyone feared. But no one really seems to give a shit about the Inhumans.
Appearing. No, I feel like the Inhumans are like the new thing, like the new like the beginning of Civil War 2, like they see the Terrigen Mist and they're like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if we became Inhuman?
But people still hate mutants. I don't understand.
They're pretty much the same freaking thing. It feels like they don't know what to do with the mutants anymore because they don't want to use any more mutants because Fox still has the right to the movies. Which I find is just so dumb of them.
Rest in peace, Fantastic Four.
Them too. But at the same time, you keep hearing rumors about how they want to bring Negasonic Teenage Warhead into the comics again. And yeah. It's like, so you want to bring in another mutant.
But she already exists.
True. I guess that's true. But at the same time, it's just like, you're trying to incorporate more mutants, but at the same time, you're kind of like throwing them off into limbo here. Yeah. Literally ex limbo.
Stupid joke. Yeah, and it seems it's more interesting too, because in the Civil War tie-ins, it's very much it divides the mutants even further. You have the Magneto squad, you have the Storm squad, and people are defecting to both sides. Like Psylocke is going to Storm, Nightcrawler is going to Magneto. So they're building, it seems like they want to build up that conflict again between the X-Men like they did. But it still just drives me crazy that the status quo at Marvel is that our heroes fight each other.
Yeah.
It drives me absolutely insane. Even before
Secret Wars, you had the Cyclops group and you had the Storm group. And the Storm
Wolverine group, sorry.
Right. And the Jean Grey school.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Yeah, it seems like they don't know what to do with the X-Men anymore. Or they're very confused of what they should do with it.
I feel like they're just trying to be very passive with them. They don't want to build up a new big event because then everyone's like, yeah, we got to go see the new X-Men movie that comes out in a month. Because, I don't know, because with the Marvel titles, it's always like this really big shakeup between the last character's on-film appearance to when they appear again on film.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it drives me kind of crazy because I like a lot of those characters, they're not treated right.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with the X-Men, not the 90s, but the X-Men 2000s cartoon. I loved X-Men Evolution. I just remember the name of the actual show.
Yeah.
But I loved that show so much, and that's why that was my first interaction with the X-Men, and it was great. And just something that bothers me with the whole Cyclops going to war just... it really didn't make sense to me. It's like, you finally united all the mutants together. Now we're going to go try and kill off these other people. Because that sounds like a great idea.
At least that's the way the solicits read. I'm very interested to see how, again, it's more so, I want to see how the Inhumans escape this without any blame. Literally forced all the mutants to disappear into limbo or space or whatever
happened. Died at the Terrigen Mist.
And then Pox. The mutants are literally sterile now because of the Terrigen Mist. So why are they still seen as good guys?
And another thing that just happened in Extraordinary X-Men this week, in the future, because they got sent to the future for the Apocalypse Wars. Apocalypse destroyed this egg that had 600 mutant embryos in it. So it's like, okay, are we going to have like a sudden mutant population growth? Nope. Seems like they just got wiped out again.
No more mutants.
Yeah. That's part two. Said. Yeah. I don't know. It's, It's only going to be a 4-issue series, so I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah, it's bi-weekly.
Yeah, so it'll be a quick series to at least get some context to what actually happened and what's probably happening right now, at least.
Why are there statues of the Fantastic Four, but no statues of Cyclops? What's his name? See, I hate Cyclops. I really do not like him.
A lot of people hate Cyclops.
I don't like him. My girlfriend says the only thing that she's ever read him in that she liked was like the Dark Phoenix saga. But the Fantastic Four went out in a blaze of glory. They have a statue.
Mm-hmm.
Cyclops' name is dragged through the mud in Extraordinary X-Men. No one seems to want to talk about him at all. So what's going on? I just want to know what's going on. And it's that nerd fandom craze. It's like, I have to read this to find out.
Yeah. It's their whole marketing thing. It's like, you want to know what happened to Cyclops and the X-Men?
I don't, but I want
to
understand
the world. I
want
to know
what
happened to the fucking X-Men. I don't care about Cyclops. He's a dick.
I want to know the world and the state of the world and how the world came to be.
Yeah.
I don't care about Cyclops.
Yeah.
God, I hate Cyclops.
Fuck Cyclops.
Sorry.
Hashtag ruins everything. So another team book announcement that I was really hoping for a new Young Avengers, but instead we get Champions, which includes a bunch of pretty much all the new young heroes.
I'm surprised Vision's daughter's on that
team. Yeah, that's what's going to happen at the end of the Vision book then, that Vision actually lets his daughter go there.
Well, Mama Vision's been blackmailing people since the start of the series.
That book got real, it's just really dark.
It's so good.
It's so good, but it's
Sparky,
really dark.
Sparky, dude.
I haven't gotten to Sparky yet.
It's so great.
Wait, did that Sparky issue come out?
Yeah, the issue with the dog.
I don't think I got that in my poll. Maybe I didn't add it to my poll. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. I'm still missing issues 4, 5, and 6, and it's bothering me.
Yeah, I think, what was it? I was reading Twitter, and I think Nick Spencer was like, yeah, I was the one who suggested the name Champions if anyone was doing anything with that property. It was one of the big Marvel writers. I can't remember who. And then this title came out, and it's Vision's daughter, Miss Marvel, Spider-Man, Nova.
And then Kid Cyclops?
Yeah, past Cyclops.
Oh, that's right, because
and
they still...
Hulk?
Yeah, it looks like...
Amadeus Cho,
yeah.
Hulk.
I didn't think he was that young, though.
He is a kid.
Really?
Like, he's in his 20s-ish.
Yeah. I mean, this seems kind of weird since all of them are literally teenagers, and, except for him.
He could be like the Mama Duck of the family.
Yeah.
Papa Duck.
Yeah, it's another Mark Waid series, which... I was not impressed with his Avengers run. I dropped the book after 6 issues.
It was pretty all right.
It was okay. Nothing really happened.
It was actually a lot of things happened and they just reacted.
Yeah.
There was, I don't know, maybe I'm just spoiled by Geoff Johns' Justice League where it's very much, I don't know. I just got so used to Johns writing team books. I think that was the only DC team book I had on my pull list for the longest time.
I feel like team books are just so difficult to write, especially, I mean, yeah, you have a team of characters, like you have to write each character individually, but at the same time, you want to write them in your own style.
And you have 6 characters, and you want to try and give attention and spotlight to all 6 characters,
yeah.
Which is hard.
Yeah. I mean, the covers look awesome, because it's an Alex Ross cover.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
I guess they quit the event. I guess that explains them burning their Avengers IDs.
That's literally the variant, is them burning their Avengers IDs.
Okay.
So again, going with that whole divided we stand thing.
Yeah.
They're really splitting this generationally down the line. But yeah.
So I guess that takes out the theory of like all the adults gone in one world, all the kids gone the other.
I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily throw it out.
I don't know. I think that theory's gone.
It probably is, but...
I think it's very much like... I think by the time Civil War ends, they realize how dangerous everything is.
Yeah.
And they want to put restrictions down on some of these teen heroes.
And just like, yeah, no, we're good. Okay, bye.
We're both burping away from the mic.
Yep. So, the last one we got to talk about... Riri?
I just called her Riri.
Riri? I want to say it's Ruri. I can't say that.
Like Ruri?
Yeah. kind of. Like Riri Williams.
Miss Williams.
Yes. Is the new Invincible Iron Man. Or Iron Maiden.
By Brian Michael Bendis in Time. And literally the next day, you know, I get up for work at 4. I'm watching the news and it's on the news. I'm like, it's driving me crazy that everyone's calling her a black woman. She's 15 years old. Yeah. She is a teenager.
Yeah. It's an original character from Bendis again, who has done these diverse characters before, but everybody is so upset by this.
Well, I like the origin of her character from a writing process. You know, Bendis is like, yeah, I live in Chicago and I'm thinking about this character who, she's a brilliant mind, but you know, she's doing something else with her life other than putting on a cape and fighting. She got into MIT at 15 and she's using her brains more than her brawns to help solve problems in the real world. And he mm-hmm. said in the article, he's been looking for a way to bring her into the fold. And recently he was like, he found a good point where she can become Iron Man. She showed up in Invincible Iron Man issue 7, I want to say. And then she's appeared in every issue since. So there's one part of the fan base. It's like Bendis is shoehorning another character. And I'm like, no, she's been there. It's very organic. Yeah. Literally, the latest issue that came out ends with Friday telling Friday telling Tony Stark, yeah, there's a 15-year-old girl flying around in a copy of one of your armors. And the issue just ends right there flat. And I'm like, this will be interesting.
Yeah. But it goes along with the lines of this article, or I guess really an editorial. It's an editorial. Like, just the way it's written, it just seems like it's meant to be an editorial, an opinion. The site is just excellent. It's called furiousfanboys.com. Like, okay, this is, you can already tell where this is going. And the article is titled Marvel No Longer Makes Comics, They Make Publicity Stunts. And the whole,
I'm pretty sure I buy like 10 comic books from them every month. I don't buy any stunts. Where do I get a PR platform?
Where is my motorcycle jump?
Where is my soapbox I can shout things from? Because clearly that's all people think Marvel does now.
Yeah. I mean, I can see, to one degree, I can see where they're getting at. Just because, yeah, it's like, let's make Captain America a Hydra agent and then immediately reverse him. Like, yeah, it seems like it was, Nick Spencer said it was planned from the beginning of what he was going to do. But like we talked about last week, it would have been a lot cooler if they dragged that out a couple issues, like, and revealed in like issue 4 or 5 of that arc or something.
Right. Well, I think, again, in an organic matter, Spencer hits it hard as a cliffhanger, but then spends the next issue kind of recovering from that. I feel like if he just went cold turkey for 4 issues, that would have been, people would have been kind of mad.
True. But at the same time, I felt like it would have made it a lot more interesting when he finally came to. He's like, oh, God, what have I done?
That's pretty fair.
But, I mean, me and Steven were talking about this last night with the whole Miss Williams. I'm just going to refer to her as Miss Williams because I can't say that name. We were talking about this last night and we're like, it feels like Marvel's trying to recreate the whole Miss Marvel boom. Like, Kamala Khan as Miss Marvel was such a huge success.
I want to argue with that.
But yeah, I also argue with it because it wasn't just because she was a diverse character. It was because she had an amazing writer and artist, and it was a unique perspective that they gave to it.
Yeah. The point I want to argue is that Miss Marvel came in at the same time that there was still a Captain Marvel book. So a lot of people, I think people felt better about it, that a legacy character came into an old role rather than being shoehorned, or not even shoehorned, being placed. It's like, you are now Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. and Carol fought the Skrulls in space. We don't know where she is, so you're taking her place now.
Right.
Which, again, fans, angry fanboys, will be pissed off and annoyed because they don't know. I have not seen a single word about Doctor Doom taking over Iron Man. Other than like praise for it.
Yeah, and it's, it seems like
the same exact writer.
Yeah.
People are throwing a fit. And I was talking to Steve about it too on Facebook. He's like, I love Tony Stark is Iron Man. They changed the writing style from the movies and the comics. And Tony Stark's always been a pragmatic asshole.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. But I even told Steve, I'm like, yeah, it would have been cool if Miss Williams, Riri, Iron
You could say, Man, whatever, Iron Maiden.
It would have been a new character. Even when I was picking up my pool, I told John, I'm like, have you seen the new argument on our Facebook feed today? He's like,
yeah, people were,
oh, the new War Machine. I'm like, no, she's Iron Man. Now he's like, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
And
I think there was one comment I saw where this guy was literally like, I could tell he was like yelling at the screen as he was typing. He's like, Bendis is a fucking jack off who doesn't know how to write characters. Like, fucking hate his writing. I'm just like, slow your roll, man. Slow your roll.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to write strong characters that are diverse. Who knows about Jessica Jones or Miles Morales?
Yeah, you know, those successful characters that people love.
Again, one of the things is that people relate Bendis to Grant Morrison. That Bendis is untouchable at Marvel at this point. And he could do whatever the fuck he wants.
How many books is he writing it for Marvel now?
Two Iron Man books, one Spider-Man book. Civil War right now, so four ongoings.
I'm pretty sure that's the most that anyone else aside from maybe Charles Soule,
Jeff Lemire too,
yeah,
and maybe Dugan, I don't know. But Bendis very much said yes, it will be organic, it will be very clear that she will come into this role and Tony Stark will leave the role.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's not even Bendis's fault. Why are people even blaming him? I blame Marvel's PR department.
I do too. That's kind of what the article is making the point of. They care more about what people are saying than the content themselves.
Yeah. And I mean, announcing this title or announcing the character specifically 3-4 months in advance kind of hurts Marvel's credibility right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if I'm reading Invincible Iron Man and, oh, hey, they met up at this point in time, or, oh, hey, this happens, you got to imagine how stressed out Tony Stark must be.
Mm-hmm.
He just got done with a stint in Japan with former love interest Madame Mask and the techno robots. His best friend just died. He is going to figure out who his biological parents are in this coming month. I would personally step away from the superhero role myself after that kind of mess.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like people are just, I always say this, they get preemptively mad about something they don't even see yet. Like, it's probably going to be the conclusion of the arc. It's going to make, like I said, Bendis wants to make it organic. He knows how to write dialogue, so I'm sure he'll make the plot arc make sense.
Was Jane Thor like the last big Marvel PR thing?
Yes, I believe so.
I don't know.
I want to say it was.
And again, people, I don't know. It also goes along with my kind of point where some people are very much just, I feel like some fans are very much like, yes, we want more. We love Miss Marvel. Yes, we love Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. Give us more. And then there's fans that are like, they're replacing all of our straight white characters with all these other characters. Your characters are coming back. Don't worry.
Calm yourself.
Even when Doc Ock took over Peter's body, it wasn't that long. I was there. You were there. Chill. Odinson's coming back. Captain America, Sam Wilson, is still Captain America, but Steve is back as Captain America, too. He's dealing with his own threat. You guys really need to chill.
That's something that I just don't understand is, like, wow, you're so bitter at, like, everything. Like, can't you just enjoy the books? Like,
you are so bitter at something you're paying $4 a month to read. Oh, my goodness. Do you know what I could buy with $4? Probably a small drink at Starbucks.
Yeah.
There you go. I've solved it for you.
Go drink something bitter.
Go get... no, sorry. Save your money for 2 months and go buy yourself a beer at a bar. There Boom. You go, guys.
I mean, I think something that bothers me the most about all these announcements, like, in the middle of Civil War, like, yes, I understand that they want to get people to pre-order and stuff and get those added to their polls if they want. But it's really like spoiling how Civil War II is going to end.
It's the same thing with Secret Wars. Secret Wars was supposed to end in October, right before All New, All Different. And hey, I picked up Iron Man right when Secret Wars 3 came out. I'm like, oh, Dr. Doom is still alive and he has a face. What happened?
But I mean, it's like, okay, there's going to be a two new Iron People. So obviously Tony's either going to walk away or he's dead. And then Captain Marvel is, kind of skipped over this, but she's getting a relaunch as well in 2017. And looks like the first cover is people don't know where to stand with her anymore.
Yeah, they've turned her into a public, she's a Kardashian.
Yeah.
Where people really like her or people hate her, and then she's going to have to deal with the fallout of this publicity.
Yeah, and the fallout of Civil War.
I just compared Miss Captain Marvel, Carol freaking Danvers, to a Kardashian.
God damn. What have you done? What have you done to her?
Well,
she deserves better. I know. It makes me so sad. I love
Should I call her OJ?
Oh, God. Please,
she's responsible for someone's death.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. She's better than this. Why do you do this to one of my favorite characters?
The person that's taking over, she's a YA writer. She wrote Beautiful Creatures, which is like a Twilight-esque magic thingy.
Yeah.
And then the Black Widow young adult novel that came out.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And then the artist is the artist on Astonishing Ant-Man. So, I mean, the art's not bad. It's just, I love Anka so much.
Yeah, Anka's really unique.
Like, his art was just so great for the last arc. And it kind of makes me sad that they're already replacing the team, though, because I was digging the current team that they had for it.
Yeah, it was the Peggy Carter writers.
Yep.
I guess they're bitter. You didn't renew our show. We're out.
Okay, bye.
But,
That's good. The first arc is obviously going to probably deal with a lot of fallout. We're
three, four, if you count the zero issue, four issues into Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, well, is it not Trinity War, but not even like the whole Forever Evil thing talked about any of this. They didn't even announce Grayson until the end of Forever Evil.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I don't know what's going on in Marvel's PR department, but I feel like they're just fucking themselves right now.
Yeah, it's totally bizarre. And it's like you said, like within the last hour of us before we were recording, like all these articles came out and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I don't have time to read all of these.
What do Click, I do?
Bleeding Cool. Give me the cliff notes.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I've only been reading comics for about, I want to say 4 years now, like hardcore reading comics. And I want to say in the last like 2 to 3 months, this is like the first time I've seen people just so upset with Marvel. Like just readers in general, just they're so done with, like I've seen so many people like, yeah, I'm dropping like all my Marvel books. Like I'm done with this.
I'm dropping all of them because of one 15-year-old girl. Yeah. You guys need to calm down, please.
Oh, it just seems so weird because everyone was just like, oh, Marvel does so everything so well, but like we said, it just seems like Marvel doesn't know what they want to do right now. Like they, I feel like they just need a massive, restructure, but they need new writers. I feel like they're losing a lot of their talent. I feel like
they need,
like, I love Bendis, but the fact that he keeps getting more and more books is kind of worrying.
I mean, Spencer's doing the same thing now. He's writing 3 titles with Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like they haven't brought in a lot of new talent.
Well, it's kind of the reverse of the DC effect. We know when DC goes on like their writer's retreat, all their creators all come together and just sit there and stare at a whiteboard trying to figure out what the new status quo is. Freaking Geoff Johns paved the way into Rebirth, and he had a bunch of writers help him with that. You know, he had Scott Snyder there. He had Steve mm-hmm. Orlando. He had a bunch of people that were like, what made DC Comics good? Literally, DC gave us all the old things, and people flipped out while giving us new things, and everyone's cheering.
They literally took the best of the old and the best of the new.
Yeah, and Marvel's trying to give us new things, make things different. And I feel like the one thing that differs from Marvel and DC about these new characters is that DC will make the time and the effort to give these characters their own persona and not move them into another person's role. People were like, oh man, Duke is going to be the new Robin. He already appeared in the Future's End, or Harper's going to be the new Robin because Batman's been grooming her or please whatever.
Harper. I love Harper.
But Damian's still there. Harper became Bluebird. Duke is going to become Lark. They're given their own identity separate from the entity of Batman himself. Whereas Marvel is like, all right, we're going to introduce a new character. They're not replacing this person, but they're going to be in this person's role with their name for a while. Like, I have had my Bendis what the fuck moments, like when they did the end of the Ultimate series where mm-hmm. Peter Parker came back from the grave and he and Miles were fighting each other for a while. And I'm like, okay, Bendis, tell me how this goes. But then Secret Wars happened. Yeah. So I never got a satisfying conclusion.
Other
that.
Than Peter's just like, okay, bye, I'm out.
Me and MJ are going to run away.
Good luck, Miles.
Peter Parker himself has given Miles his blessing. So I feel like the one disconnect between fans and writers right now is that there's no exchange of that blessing. Even Jane Thorne, people were freaking out, but then Odinson's like, no, you deserve it. Or Captain America literally telling Sam, it's like, you need to be Captain America. Mm-hmm. What they're not seeing is our Iron Maiden not given anything. Like, people are like, she should have been War Machine now that Rhodey died, but now she's going to have this A-list character name. And there's not a problem with that, but you should give her her own identity mm-hmm.
like,
before
give her
giving
the,
her something
yeah,
else.
Don't make her Invincible Iron Man. Make her own Iron Maiden. Like, one, you get to use that awesome name, and two,
copyright.
She's probably yeah, that's probably why they didn't do it. And two, it would create her own again, her own persona.
I'm actually sure they used that joke in like last month's issue of Invincible Iron Man. You ever heard of that one song, "Run to the Hills"? Yeah,
Wendy likes to do that.
Again, like you and I just said, it's like these characters are lacking their own identity before stepping up into these roles. Miss Marvel, man, that title was free. We knew her as a giant Carol Danvers fan. All mm-hmm. she ever wanted was to meet Carol. That's 17 issues.
I mean, even in the first arc, she's like, when she transforms into like a young Carol Danvers, she's like, no, I don't want to be her. I want to be my own person.
Yeah. It's emulation versus copy.
Oh my God, that
was
such a great arc. I love that arc so much.
Yeah. And I mean, the only thing she retains from that Carol thing is the lightning bolt. That's just,
yeah.
The symbol. Even Miles, when he became Spider-Man, it was like right after the death of Peter Parker, the ultimate fallout. People were like, dude, your costume is in really bad taste. And then it took him, what, 2 issues to get the black and red costume from Jessica Drew?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot about Marvel and DC. And like I said, I have a very strong bias towards DC. I love them.
We
I love the
do.
Characters. I would probably name one of my children after one of the Robins. I actually just learned my coworker's son is named Damian. I'm like, oh, that's such a great name. She's like, you know what my husband said? He said he named our son after Robin. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the 5th Robin, the biological son of Bruce Wayne. And she's like, I'm going to tell my husband that and get some nerd cred. But I don't know. There's so many people that are just upset and angry for... I understand it's within reason, but there's not enough reason to be upset and angry about. I'm all for brand new characters, but mm-hmm. I need characters to have
their own identity.
Yeah, their own identity.
I want to argue that Marvel has done this good before with, I guess, with Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel, with both Hawkeyes, like Kate Bishop and Clint Barton. Both share the same name, but they are very different
but
characters.
But wasn't Clint dead when Kate started?
Yeah, he was, because that was at the very...
It's...
That was after the whole Scarlet Witch killing
yeah,
3 Avengers.
It's, but we're on the same page, but we don't understand we're on the same page, because these characters came into their roles when
true,
that character
you're
left.
Right, you're right. She replaced the old Hawkeye, but
exactly.
She's developed into her own person. She
exactly.
is her own character.
Yeah. Same thing with the Spider-Mans, but
yeah.
that character was dead at that time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, both of the Peter Parkers gave Miles
it's,
his
it's,
blessing.
Yeah, they're replacing him, but they then grew into their own thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
We are. I think we're just saying things.
We're talking around circles now.
Yeah. Wee circles.
It's around the Red Bull can.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, anything else you want to talk about all the Marvel shenanigans?
I'm done with Marvel.
Let's take a break from Marvel.
Not that I'm done with Marvel, but I'm done talking about Marvel for now.
Yeah, there's been too much Marvel, like, Marvel, what are you doing?
What if Tony Stark became War Machine? Take that, internet.
Aha! We solved it. We solved your... Actually, we probably would just feel more rage.
I don't care.
Let's take a quick break for the Hall of Justice little promo.
Okay, sounds good.
Just wanted to clear up something there. We are not sponsored by them, but we love the shop, so we want to just give a little promo.
I actually just moved my pool over there too.
Yeah, it's a great little shop, but we're not sponsored, so quick break, we'll be back. Yeah, Zach,
do you know where I can find comics?
I do, in fact. I have just the shop for you. It's called Hall of Justice Comics.
Can I find insert comic description here?
Yes, you can. You can find all sorts of current issues, back issues, collectibles, and you can even start up a poll there.
Can I insert pop culture event here?
I'm not sure which culture event you're exactly talking about, but I'm sure John has the details on that.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing.
It is. You can check them out at hallofjusticecomics.com or check out their physical location if it's near you in Colorado.
Oh, man. What part of Colorado?
It's actually located in Parker, Colorado.
Oh, man. I got to check that out.
If you're in that area or nearby, go definitely check them out. John has an awesome little shop down there, and he will hook you up.
Awesome. I will be there.
And we're back.
Hey, Zach.
Yeah?
You know what else we're not sponsored by?
Red Bull?
Red Bull, the summer edition. Try out Red Bull's Kiwi Twist, now available in a store near you.
Well, we can only hope till when we actually get an actual sponsor so you can do the sponsor voice. He has a really good sponsor voice.
Everyone hates it because...
You always bring up YouTube Red.
I have YouTube Red, and I will shoehorn that in at anytime. I think my best one was on Facebook this week to Steven. Steven, oh, yeah,
he's
you.
Just like, you sly son of a bitch.
What was it?
I don't know. I can't remember. It was so good, though.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve. I think this is the most we've talked about Steve outside of him actually being on the show.
It's the Steve show when he's not actually here. So tell me about He-Man and Thundercats.
So this was a brand new title announced by DC Comics. And it is another crossover, which DC's been doing such an awesome job at. Oh, my God. People... You need to read Flintstones.
What?
I'll talk about that later. But He-Man and Thundercats are crossing over into a new team book, He-Man and Lion-O.
Lion-O. Snarf.
That was a college thing, right?
Yeah, it was.
So they're crossing over. I'm not sure about the creative teams. I literally sent that to you, and then I had to leave my house.
Wait, hang on.
Thundercats.
I want to say it's Rob David, it looks like.
Okay. I feel like it'd be really cool because He-Man and Thundercats are super similar in a way.
Yeah.
It's like the old school with... old school feel with new technology.
Right.
And I fell in love with He-Man again after Jeff Parker's run. Like, DC is doing such a cool thing with all their properties. I think one of the titles for one of the things I put on our notes, All That Is New Again.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just been so cool reading all these new things, like the Hanna-Barbera stuff. Scooby Apocalypse is awesome. Wacky Racers is just plain wacky. Future Quest is my favorite one of the bunch. Just like seeing Harvey Birdman and Space Ghost and the Hulkuloids. It's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, even at Denver Comic Con, Dan Dito was like, yeah, we didn't expect the success of Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover. Like, people love that.
Yeah, he's like,
so this is kind of like what they're basing this off of, kind of. It's like, let's just put these two together now.
Yeah, and I feel like it's very methodical because it's...
Again, it's characters that worked. Characters. Yeah, they worked well together.
If you would have told me 5 years ago that Batman would be fighting with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I would have called you a dirty liar.
Don't they eat pizza together?
They ate pizza together. They ordered pizza and were eating it in the Batcave.
Yes.
And knowing Alfred, he probably baked it and then put it in a pizza box.
Yep, probably.
Yeah.
What is this? Oh, I didn't even notice this. Write a comment you put down here.
Oh, we'll talk. That was just for fun.
Oh, okay.
But speaking of, like, All That Is New Again, the Flintstones comic came out this week, and it is...
I didn't even know there was a Flintstones comic.
It's crazy, because... so it is very much the Flintstones. It has that feel of Bedrock, and they've kind of retconned parts of the story. Like, Fred and Barney are veterans of the Bedrock Wars.
What the fuck?
Where they had to fight for their territory after a volcano
blew up. Did they fight dinosaurs?
No, they fought other cavemen.
Okay.
And they're Homo sapien, and then their boss hired some Neanderthals to work for the whatever.
The quarry.
Yeah, the quarry. But it's so bizarre. It's like humorous.
If you told me that Flintstones was going to have social commentary...
I mean, that's what it originally was.
Was
too.
It?
Yeah, a little bit. That and Jetsons were kind of that back in the day.
I never really understood those cartoons when I watched them as a kid.
And, you know, it's like literally they show up to a rehab group at one point, just talking about
like PTSD style.
It's weird. Jesus and it's crazy. Christ. But it's taking like that beloved property and modernizing it away for current contemporary readers.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just so bizarre. And I really enjoyed what I read of it because, you know, Fred is still Fred. But there's been like whole new layers to the story where they go bowling still, but like that PTSD circle was just so bizarre, but it's very reflective of our society today.
Huh.
That's kind I of really crazy. Liked it.
I mean, yeah, I think it's really cool what they're doing with all these books, like a new twist with on them. But I know a lot of people are just like, why does everything have to be so dark?
That was only like 3 pages of the Flintstones comic about like the Bedrock Wars and like the PTSD circle.
Still, it's pretty freaking dark.
Yeah, but it gives us a proper glimpse into the world now. Like, you know, crap. It was the stupid buffalo helmet people with the horns, like the tall hats from the Flintstones comic.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the uniform for the Bedrock War. It was crazy. I enjoyed it though. Like, the Hanna-Barbera stuff is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it because I love the dark kind of like... I love the stories that tell something that you don't really see until you read deep into it.
Yeah.
Like, I like that stuff, but I know a lot of people who are just like, I just want it to be fun.
Give me something funny that I can laugh at. Go read something else.
Yeah.
Go read Future Quest if you're looking for a high, fun, octane adventure.
There you go. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, kind of new... I mean, you... Should we do Justice League or Superman first?
I mean, the Superman thing will be, like, super brief for me.
Okay.
Because you're not reading it. So Superman issue 2 came out. Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. Sorry, burps.
The Red Bull is striking.
Yeah. Red Bull.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, but it makes the Z2 podcast run. But Freaky Deaky Superman. So Eradicator's back. He's the fourth person I always forget in the Reign of the Superman. It's Cyborg, Superman, Superboy, right. Eradicator, and now I'm forgetting the actual person that I always name. I suck.
Cyborg, Superman, Eradicator, Superboy. Who is the fourth one? There's only three, isn't there? Steel.
Duh. The actual prominent one.
Yeah.
But Eradicator came back, and... It was just like an end page reveal. It's going to be the first arc for Patrick Gleason and Peter Tomasi. But it's cool because the way Eradicator comes back, Eradicator was originally a clone, and he still is. He actually samples John Kent's blood. Hmm. And he's half human, half Kryptonian. Speaking of which, John bleeds.
Oh.
Hmm. Actually, one of the big worrying things is that John is sitting in a tree with this girl. She touches his hand, he freaks out, snaps the branch, and actually gets a concussion.
Huh.
And it's like, but you're Kryptonian. Mm. How are you hurt? And it's like that half-human thing. And, you know, Clark is doing his best to try and teach John how to use his powers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the beginning of the issue, John asks, like, did the Justice League come to you to take me away? Because I don't know how to use my powers. And Clark's like, no, you're my son. I would never let them do that. Mm. Actually, they're worried about me because I'm the new Superman, and theirs is dead. And John actually fesses up. I was freaking out, and I sent you like 8 pictures of like a 3-page thing where John like roasts Goldie, his cat.
Yeah.
And he's like, Dad, I need to tell you, I killed Goldie with my heat vision. And Clark's like, yeah, I knew. I could smell it. I could, you know, it's just like there's a certain chemical in the air after we use our heat vision, and I could smell it right away. And I was like, oh, wow, this is super Dad. He's like, now you got to tell your mother. And there's like a beautiful splash page of them sitting at a grave with the Goldie's collar on across and aww, all holding each other. I'm like, this is such a 180 from John's fears. Mm-hmm. But the issue, like, really, this isn't even my pick of the week. It's like the 10 minutes I talk about Superman again. All new is all new again. Mm-hmm. But it's about Clark trying to teach John how to use his powers, teach him how to use his heat vision, mm-hmm, where he doesn't know how to do like the eye beam, and he just like scorches Clark's back.
Oh God.
And he's like, it's fine. Just shoot it. You can do this, John. I believe in you. And I'm like, oh, Super Dad is so cool.
He's like Bat Dad.
Bat Dad and Super Dad. Yes. Can we have a Super Dad's book?
Along yes, with Super Sons? Please. Just please give us that. Does them making dad jokes the whole time.
And it's actually Dick Grayson for Damian instead of Bruce. Oh, Bruce was busy. He sent me. Yeah. So Justice League Rebirth came out this week too.
Yep.
How'd you feel about it?
Kind of impartial about it. I didn't think it was bad, but I still got the similar feel to the whole Rao arc a bit. Yeah. I feel like this is going to be a little more, it's going to make more sense as a whole, and it's dealing with a different issue.
Yeah. The Reapers.
The minute I was like, did he recently play Mass Effect or something? Because this is like literally what the Reapers did in Mass Effect.
Yeah. There's also like the Doctor Who thing at the very end where they're all yelling at the big giant Reaper floating away. It's like, but we're defending the Earth.
Oh, yeah. This Earth is protected.
But Brian Hitch both wrote and drew the issue. You know, that's really stressful for a writer. Yeah. I can only imagine. But I think I've grown so attached to Geoff Johns' style of writing that when I read Justice League Rebirth, I was kind of disappointed more than anything. I'm
like,
sure
it looks like there's going to be a bunch of like big events and conflicts, but I don't know. It's just, it doesn't seem like it's going to have the same impact that John's had on the whole universe.
Well,
like all the big events, like
it was very centralized and then like blew out
of everything proportion. Else blew out from Justice League.
It grew from each other.
Yeah.
Because Volume 1 was all about the origin. Then after Darkseid invaded, you had David Graves. And after you had David Graves, you had
Throne of Atlantis.
Throne of Atlantis, where people were freaking out. Then from Throne of Atlantis, you had Trinity War, so they all dicked around for a while. But Forever Evil grew from that. And then Luther joined the Justice League.
Right.
And I'm just so used to... And I'm one of the things that bugged me, and I don't know why it bugs me, but there was like no internal narration the entire issue.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I'm just so used to John's style of writing and, like, others that emulate that, like Dan Abnett or, like, Scott Snyder, that I want to know what's going on through these characters' heads as they're freaking out in front of danger.
Yeah, like, the whole Darkseid War that's narrated by Wonder Woman. I love that.
Yeah.
Because the one god, and the one god-like figure that's not directly being like consumed by anything is the one commentating on everything.
Or Rebirth, where the entire thing's narrated by Wally the entire time, and we get to see those different moments in time.
I feel like narration just gives so much perspective on what's happening.
Yeah.
Then like, yeah, well, there's all these things are happening to us, but, and we're doing stuff and we're calling out what to do, but what does this mean to the whole thing?
I mean, the most that we got from that was Superman trying to like just talking to Lois saying like, I'm not their Superman, they don't necessarily trust me, but she's like, but Clark, you are Superman, you need to help them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just, it's so weird.
I miss John's already.
Yeah, it's, I'm not saying I didn't like the issue. I mean, it was
the Superman part was cool, good one shot. I really like the Superman part,
and I'm gonna be excited when Tony S. Daniel takes over for art, because Hitch can't write and draw the entire time. But I just, I feel so
underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed, because we went from gods invading the world and people becoming gods and this whole
gods dying and being reborn.
infant Darkseid. You know, we went from that to
giant alien tentacle monster
Starro.
Shout out to Starro.
Yeah, I know the first bit of the arc is going to be very much like the subplot is going to be, can we trust this new Superman?
Yeah, which I feel that's going to be the most interesting part.
Especially if each issue takes place in a different perspective. They have 6 issues, give a Justice League member 1 issue each.
Right.
And, you know, Batman's the only one that's like, yeah, I trust him. He's Superman. I don't know, man.
Do you think Barry and Jessica are like... Barry was very friendly towards her.
He said he was her favorite lantern.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. Why does Simon get no love?
Because he uses a gun.
That's why everyone's like, oh, it's the Green Lantern with the gun. I'm like, you guys don't call Guy Gardner the Ginger Lantern.
Or the Come Angry on. Lantern.
The Punchy Lantern. But I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It seems interesting because that's the new team, because Hal went back off to space to dick around, so we get Simon and Jessica working together, which I don't know. They have their own title. I'm impartial to them. I don't read them typically.
I need to read this week's issue.
I very much would prefer to see Hal Lee be in this like all new, all classic lineup again,
or Kyle maybe. Except he really hasn't been on the... Was he ever on the Justice League?
Yes.
Okay.
He was on the Justice League early 2000s when Hal was dead.
Okay.
And yeah, he and Wally became really good friends during that.
Oh, I want to see that.
Go read anything. Go read some stuff.
Go read back issues.
Mark Waid did the Fairy Tales story. That was really cool. Sorry.
As you reminisce on old storylines.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll just have to see where this goes, see if it improves.
Yeah, I'm still going to read Justice League. I mean, I want to see where it goes, but I'm just missing Geoff Johns immensely. The same way that even though Tom King is doing an awesome job on Batman, I still miss Scott Snyder, even though I have to wait, like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah,
or 1 week for all new
All-Star Batman.
All-Star Batman. All new, all different Batman. Yeah, whatever.
It is what it is.
I don't care.
Angst.
Nerd rage. All right. So picks?
Yep. Let's do picks.
I found it just being incredibly challenging to pick something this week because Batman, Superman, Aquaman, and Green Arrow all came out this week. Oh my
god, Aquaman and Green Arrow were amazing.
Yeah, I loved... John, this one's for you. But my pick of the week is not a character that resides in Gotham or a spider, but it's Aquaman. It's the Aquaman theme song.
I don't know.
Is it like
I'll look up the Super Friends
is
one.
Is it like him screaming as his hand gets... All right. It is now the whale noise.
It's a dolphin.
Sorry. Totally derailed.
Yep.
But how great would a Titanic resort be?
With Aquaman, an Aquaman theme room.
Yes.
That's the underwater part is Atlantis.
God. Aquaman was just so very emotional this week.
Yeah.
Literally by issues Rebirth 1 and 2, and you can actually get like a full good 3-issue story arc, even though it's going to continue more with Black Manta. But Aquaman, you know, as his,
as we had called it, the embassy is literally on fire.
Yeah. The embassy's on fire. Black Manta stabbed Mara last issue. So he gets this new supporting character. Take her away, please, while I deal with this problem. And they're fighting each other. And Black Manta's whole deal is revenge because Aquaman killed his father in cold blood because Black Manta killed Aquaman's dad. So it's a whole circle of revenge. Like, it's...
That's even, like, the main monologue in the book at the end, which is such a great monologue.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Freaking Arthur is sitting there. It's like, you know what? Kill me. He gives him the tridents and is like, but what will you gain? Your entire life is based on revenge. And if you kill me, what happens next?
What is
you've destroyed everything. I'm sorry you lost your father. And
it was
that,
the most regretful thing I've ever done.
Yeah. And that one line was just so powerful. I was texting Kayla, who told me, you know, day one, Aquaman's great, Zach. You should read it. I'm like, yeah, but it's Aquaman. It's written by Jeff Johns. Yeah, but it's Aquaman. There's a Stephen Colbert joke. Yeah, but it's Aquaman. And then I text her. I'm like, okay, fuck it. You and John were right. Aquaman is beautiful and amazing. And I freaking love Dan Abnett just because of that ending monologue of just like, kill me. I'm sorry that I killed your father, but take my life if that will truly mean something to you. And Black Manta just drops the train and goes, damn you. And I'm like, that page was just so powerful. I'm like, oh, the feels. I can't. And it was so hard to pick something between all the hero books that came out. Because like I said, Batman number 2 was awesome with Batman disappearing on the Gotham and Gotham Girl who have enhanced vision, were the family moments in Superman. But just Aquaman was written so beautifully this week. I love it.
Yeah. So this is a book I've been wanting. I've mentioned a couple times, and I've wanted to talk about it, but my pick this week is The Fix, issue number 4.
That's the one with the dog, right?
Yeah. This is the one with the contraband sniffing dog. They haven't gotten to the sex toy part yet that John mentioned yet. I'm still waiting for that.
That's Nick Spencer and Steve
Liebier.
And you met him.
Yeah, Steve Liebier was at Denver Comic Con. He's a really cool guy. He's like, when I showed up, I was like, hey, I've been really enjoying the book. He's like, oh, thank you for picking this up. Yeah. So far, just to give you a basic gist of what it is, it's like a buddy cop movie if the two cops were corrupted and working for this sociopathic hippie mob boss.
It sounds like Gotham City.
Yeah, the mob boss is one of my favorite guys because he's like this anti-vaxxer, like
what?
He's an anti-vaxxer. What? He's like the stereotypical like anti-vaxxer Californian. He like eats all organic food. He protests and stuff. It's ridiculous. And then it's like all these. My favorite way is the way it's written. It's usually like if it's like a four panel thing, it's like happy scene or like. Just normal activity, gruesome murder, normal activity. What? It's just so ridiculous and funny that it's still building to what the actual series is supposed to like.
What are they trying to fix?
Yeah, because pretty much the two cops that are working for this sociopathic mob boss, they have to smuggle this thing through LAX. And the one thing that's blocking them is this contraband sniffing dog that has over 600 arrests. So one of the cops, the partner of one of the cops shoots his hand. So, and they make up this ridiculous story that he's like a hero. So he could go work in the canine, you know, with this dog so he could befriend him so they could get, pass the item through because the dog is on their side. And now there's this extra element of this guy who works with the mob boss that also has his own group that looks like they're trying to take down something else inside the whole corrupt organization. It's just this wild and hilarious like buddy cop drama that's gone wrong if the two cops were corrupted.
I feel like this should be Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum's next movie.
That's what it feels like, actually. It feels like 21 and 22 Jump Street a bit.
Okay.
Like, it kind of has that similar vibe, and just, I love just the way the humor is written, because it's, like, this really serious, like, moment the whole time, and then it's just, like, some ridiculous, like, either, like, a gruesome murder or just, like, some ridiculous scene that happens.
Now, let's keep in mind, this is also the same writer who writes two very serious stories with both the Captain Americas. He's writing Lost, essentially, in Morning Glories, and now he's doing this. How does his brain function?
I don't know, but like, it's been such a fun book, and I've really enjoyed it. So I'm really looking forward. That sounds
incredible.
I've been really looking forward to seeing what happens next with it.
Alrighty.
All right.
Okay. So quick question for you, like just housekeeping stuff now, before I actually get to that question. Remember, all of you lovely fans, we are doing book club. And yes. Dark Knight, A True Batman Story by Paul Dini. We'll be discussing it on July 18th. It'll be
next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next week. Not this upcoming Sunday.
But the Sunday after.
Yeah.
Are we...
So you have 1 week. approximately.
Are we doing that on the regular podcast?
Yeah, we'll do that like an end segment.
Okay, cool. And then if you follow us on Facebook, I've been posting pictures of Super Fight cards. I did like the Z2 podcast and then Z2 podcast versus Two Little Rascals. I'll post another update tonight with like our first power.
Yeah.
And I think the one for us is Z2 podcast with two microphones.
Yes.
So that'll be enjoyable.
We'll fight with our voices.
Yeah. We'll be playing
beat people.
Super Fight as a 0.5 episode for a new kind of like segmenty thing that I've been working on, and we'll talk about that when the episode actually happens. But are we shooting for a double release on Tuesday?
We're gonna have the normal release Tuesday, so this one you're listening to will be out Tuesday.
Congratulations, you're listening to this.
Woohoo! I think we should make it like a Friday release. I think it'd be a fun little thing to release on a Friday.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Cool. So you heard it here first. Tuesday, we will have our regular podcast, and then Friday
will be 17.5.
Yes. Almost, even more, almost legal at that point.
Yeah, we're like inching towards it.
The week after will be 17.6. Just so we'll just never to mess hit with 18.
Everybody. We'll never hit 18.
17.x.
Yeah. And then the triple X.
Yes.
Legendary triple X
episode. That'll be another episode of Super Fight. Nah. But, yeah, we're really excited. We'll have our longtime other host, guest, Steve, join us. And then we'll also have our good buddy who is a little rascal himself. So, Super Fight's incredibly fun. I bought, like, two more decks.
I'm so excited to use the anime deck.
Yeah.
There's so many great things in there.
You know, no one's told us anything about the anime podcast. I think we should just subject Steven to Steins Gate.
Yeah.
He's like two episodes behind. So by the time he listens to this, he'll be like, hey.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
The anime deck will be great. All right. Cool, guys. Thank you. As always, Internet, I love you all. Reminder, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. You can find us at Z2 Podcast or on Facebook at Z2 Podcast. Also on iTunes, so give us a like, give us a review, give us as many stars as you want. Give me all the stars in the night sky. And be sure to write out something underneath, just saying, hey, these guys something are pretty like, subpar.
Something you dislike.
Yeah.
We love to hear from you. And if you like what you hear and you have a friend who you think you would enjoy this, please share it to them.
Someone shared us on Reddit. I was so Woo! Happy. Go Reddit.
Reddit sometimes is nice.
Yes.
They're not downloading you.
Yeah. Anywho's a what's-its. Thank you, guys. You're amazing. And shout out to Rebirth, because I cannot get off the hype train.
Hype train is still going strong. Chew, chew, motherfucker.